Hi guys, and welcome to the podcast. I am, of course, your host and podcast founder, Lawrence Francis. I just want to take this opportunity to give you a quick overview of this series, which features coverage of the Dublin Wine and Cheese Festival, which took place at Ivy Gardens in central Dublin between the 8th and the 11th of August 2019, which will air on the Interpreting Wine podcast between episodes 289 and episode 300. This will feature a mixture of talks and one-to-one interviews with some of the leading lights in the Irish and international wine scene. This consumer fair is now in its second year, and I was seriously impressed with the quality of speaker overall. I think that events of this type really lend themselves well to being covered for the podcast. I would love to feature more events of this kind in the future. So without further ado, here is today's episode of the Dublin Wine and Cheese Festival 2019 series. Today's episode of the podcast features my interview with Marissa Sanaya of the Dublin Wine Trails. Here we hear the origin story of her transition from Georgia to Ireland. She updates us on the state of the Georgian wine scene, takes us on a virtual Dublin wine trail, and talks about the Wine and Cheese Festival 2019. I think it's also worth mentioning that Marissa was in charge of the Sip Sip Hooray tent at the Dublin Wine and Cheese Festival, where most of these episodes were recorded. So a huge thank you to you for your flawless organisation and top pouring skills. Enjoy.
My name's Mari. That would be a good start. I run a small business that I started about 2 years ago. It's called Dublin Wine Trails. And it's about kind of introducing people to the interesting wines of the world and small-scale producers that are doing great things with wine that we might not necessarily know about. I always wanted to kind of get people away from the Sauvignon Blanc kind of rut that some people might be stuck in. So kind of introducing really nice alternatives to the wines that we come across all the time. I personally got into wine because I come from a family of winemakers in Georgia. My great-grandfather was a winemaker. My grandfather still makes wine in Georgia. And then I moved to Ireland in 2001. I've lived in Dublin for most of the 19 years that I've been here. And I just accidentally got into wine professionally because I was in college and I was looking for a part-time job. And it came up, this kind of temporary job came up with Berry Brothers in Rudd when they had a shop in Dublin. And I was only meant to work there 3 weeks. And then after the 3 week stint, they offered me a full time position. And I never really looked back. I've been working in wine since then. I kind of took periods of time where I worked in other industries, but I always managed to come back to wine because that was where my passion always was. And yeah, so that's a little bit about myself.
It's always brilliant for me to hear the origin story, and I didn't know that you came from a family of winemakers over in Georgia. So what better person to give us, you know, your perspective on what's happening in Georgia, what's exciting? Go.
So basically Georgia, for people who may not know, the oldest traces of winemaking were found in Georgia, and it dates back to about 6,000 BC, so there is about 8,000 years of winemaking. But the interesting thing about Georgia is they're still producing wine in the same way that they were producing 8,000 years ago. So you're talking about the clay vessels buried in the ground, and so Quevri wines would still be the kind of the wines coming out of Georgia would mostly be produced in Quevri, and they're just so interesting. They're so like these wines are so different. They're so full of character, and there are so many interesting producers in Georgia at the moment that are doing really small scale production, but they're working with mostly native grape varieties. There's 525 native grape varieties in Georgia, and 427 of those roughly are still propagated and protected. So they can still be found in different parts of Georgia. And I think that's just amazing. I mean, 427 grape varieties. And so this kind of tradition, like this old tradition of winemaking, has been very much unbroken. And they've still brought it to this point where winemakers from all over the world are going to Georgia and they're trying to revisit these old methods of making wine. And it's just a really interesting, there's a really interesting wine scene there at the moment. And like really vibrant, really dynamic kind of wine scene. And that's why I love going back. So I went back in April, I went back in July, and I'm hopefully going to go back again in October. So that's when your podcast might be released. So yeah, it's just I'd love to kind of go back and make my own wine eventually, because I still have my great grandfather's vineyard there. So that's kind of the long term plan that I'd love to kind of see in action. But my grandfather just makes wine. He mostly makes it for himself, just to drink at home, and he actually makes really good wines, which is great for me because he keeps sending me samples and I don't have to lie to him on the phone as I'm pouring it down the sink. So his wines are actually really, really good. So he works with growers in different areas, so he has a lot of friends within the winemaking world. So he works with different growers that are kind of growing really good quality grapes. So he buys them and then he makes his own wine, and he loves it so much that my grandfather actually lives in the city full time, but he goes back to the vineyard every weekend, and he set up a big cellar at the bottom of the apartment building where he lives. So he has bought all these small spaces of the basement and built it into a cellar. And then the last time I visited him, his wife was saying that there's a new addition to the cellar. He installed this big couch. So if he or his friends feel like a nap, the couch is there. Yeah,
I got to say, that's taking it to the next level. You know, bringing the winery into the city, and you know, having that space, you know, right, literally under your feet, isn't it? Right there, down in the basement. That's brilliant. And actually, it reminds me of some of the urban wineries that I see in London, and I know there's plenty of other urban wineries all around the world. And I guess it's kind of where there's a will, there's a way. You know, you can bring a little bit of the vineyard into the city. You know, we will get on, I think, to talk about how you got to be involved here, which I think is going to be really interesting. I think where I'd like to start, though, is just to ask you about your business. You know, Dublin Wine Trails. Tell us a little bit of, I guess, the origins of that. And what does it kind of look like for you on a sort of a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis?
Well, basically the origins of Wine Trails really came about because from working in the trade, I think we've all come across people that make wine not very accessible for someone who wants to learn about it. And it's almost like an exclusive club of wine lovers that speak the lingo and you just can't penetrate the group. And there are those people who make it very accessible. And we've all come to appreciate those people that made it accessible for us when we were first starting out. So, and to this day, there are so many people that I've met that actually made me love working in the wine industry. So I suppose that was my way of giving back to people who just enjoy a good glass of wine and they don't want to be bothered by the scientific facts behind it. So, you know, the kind of, that they don't care about carbonic maceration or malolactic fermentation. They just like the flavor of the wine. They just like the way it tastes. They like how they feel when they're drinking it. So that's how Wine Trails came about. And it's just a really fun way of exploring wine while exploring the vibrant kind of wine scene in Dublin. So the wine bars of Dublin, because we have so many of them now, and especially in the last 5 or 6 years, we've been spoiled for choice. So, it's just a really nice way of kind of going around the city and drinking in different wine bars and tasting all kinds of different wines. So basically, what a wine trail would look like to anyone that wanted to go on one is you book online, you get a ticket online, and then I will email you the meeting place for that particular trail. And I do change the wine bars from trail to trail, just even for my own sanity, because I don't want to talk about the same thing on every trail. And why would you? Because there's so many different wines in the world and there are so many lovely wine bars in Dublin. So, I will send you the confirmation of kind of the meeting place, and then we'll go around about 3 or 4 different wine bars. We'll taste 4 different wines, and they're also matched with food, because these wine bars are also producing amazing food. Like, I mean, the food that arrives at the table is just so, it's such a really nice kind of exploration of flavors. So it goes really well with the wines. And again, just kind of, I always think that wine and food always go hand in hand. They kind of offset each other. So it's a really important part of the trail as well. So that's pretty much it. Like, it just goes on for about 2.5 hours. Basically, when I first set up Wine Trails, I always thought that it would be a really nice thing for like a tourist or a visitor to do, just to kind of explore Dublin. But I was pleasantly surprised by the fact that I got mostly locals that just really want to explore the local wine scene and really want to learn a little bit more about wine in a kind of fun and social atmosphere. So I'd say a solid kind of 90% of my customers would be from Ireland or from Dublin. There was actually a girl that traveled down from Belfast 3 times last year, and she brought a different friend each time to do the wine trail. Yeah, it was great. And so, yeah, you always get these people, and they're like really friendly, and they're all there and to have fun. So it's been a very kind of fun social thing for me to do as well, because I've met so many interesting people.
I think that's a fantastic idea, and, you know, I can imagine I've done, you know, some wine tastings in my history, in my past, and I like the idea of the movement. You know, I think it's great to be sort of static and sitting down and, you know, really focusing on a wine, but also, yeah, if somebody, you know, wants to and wants to just, you know, explore, as you're sort of saying there, know about new places, why not have that evening sort of spread across 4 different places, 4 different energies, and as you say, different wines, different wine lists, and, you know, everyone wins, I think. Yeah, which I think brings us very nicely to where we are sat here at the Wine and Cheese Festival. Yeah, maybe just talk a bit about, yeah, how you got to be involved. I mean, you know, how did it come about? And yeah, what are the sort of things that you have been in charge with? And you know, now we're here on day 2. How are you thinking that it's going so far?
So basically, I got involved very unexpectedly. I mean, Ali got in touch with me and she asked if I'd like to be involved. And of course, I like wine. I like cheese. All the small, family kind of oriented suppliers that are here. And it's just that's something that's really interesting to me anyway. So it was kind of a no brainer. I said yes. And then I'm going to be here. So Thursday to Sunday, I've been here. I'll be here kind of hosting talks in the Sip Sip Hooray tent. And so we did Thursday yesterday. That was great. It was great. A great opening to the festival. Really busy. And the tent was the kind of the place to be yesterday. Really interesting speakers, kind of really lovely wines. So an amazing lineup of wines yesterday and more to come today. So today we have... we have all kinds of different talks on today, really interesting, really different from each other as well. So we have We Want Loire with Latitude 51, run by Beverly, who is one of the loveliest wine people I know. She is based in Cork in Ireland, and she's going to be talking about Loire wines. And there's going to be a cheese and wine matching workshop, which I have to match the wines to. Yeah, there's another kind of rosé talk. Hopefully the sun comes out for that. And then John Wilson, who is the wine correspondent for the Irish Times, he's going to be talking about Childrets, which I love. So I'm very excited about that. So yeah, it's going to be a great day. There's other stuff happening on the main stage, and there's kind of cheese workshops and all kinds of different things going on. So it's very exciting.
Thank you so much for appearing, Marissa. It was really great to make the connection between Dublin and Georgia. And I'll definitely be back for a wine trail the next time I'm in Dublin. Do check out her website and main social media handles below, where you can find out more. And of course, come and see me on social media, where I'm at Interpreting Wine on Instagram and Facebook, at Wine Podcast on Twitter, and email hello@interpretingwine.com. We continue with another interview next time in episode 295, which features Pascal Rossignol of Le Caveau Wine Merchants. See you then.